Today in the universal calendar of the Church, we celebrate the feast of the one whom Pope Pius IX called the greatest saint of modern times, and whom Blessed John Paul II called our saint. In the old calendar, today is the feast of Saint Remigius, but priests have the ability to celebrate votive masses, and I'm doing it today for the great Saint Therese Lisieux. She was proclaimed in 1997 by Blessed John Paul II, a doctor of the Church, even though she had never graduated from high school. Why? Because she had so much to teach us about the Christian life, so much we needed to learn. And her greatest spiritual legacy was, first, what our vocation is, and it's hers. She pored over sacred scripture to try to find out the place she had in the Church, the specific mission God had given to her. And after going through almost the entire Bible, she got toward the end, St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapters 12 and 13, where she started to see all these various types of vocations in the Church, from being apostles to prophets to speakers of tongues to interpreters of tongues to administrators, etc. And she said, I didn't find myself there. And then she got to that great canticle of love in which God, through St. Paul, told us, love is patient, love is kind, it's never arrogant or rude, bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things, it never ends, to seek for these greatest spiritual gifts of all. And that's when she discovered it. Dans le cœur de l'Église, ma mère, je serai l'amour. In the heart of the Church, my mother, I will be love. She recognized that her part in the Church was to be the heart, and not just the heart as an organ, the heart doing what it ought to do, the heart loving as the Church should love. She always loved the first reading we had today, which was from the 66th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, in which God tells us, as much as a mother cares for a child, so I will care for you. She wanted to be that maternal heart in the Church. That was her vocation. And that's all of our vocation. No matter what we're called to be, a priest, a religious, a husband, a wife, lay celibate in the midst of the world, we're all called to be love. Because without that love in that vocation, as we saw in that 13th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, we will be nothing and gain nothing. So that's the first thing she teaches us with great clarity, what the end of our life is. It's to grow fully into the image and likeness of God, who is love, to be love in the heart of the Church, to be love in the heart of Christ's mystical body, to enter into Christ's sacred heart and Mary, who is always an image of the Church's immaculate heart, to love as we learn there. But then the second thing, just as important, that St. Therese teaches us is the means to fulfill that vocation. She was often a little bit put off when she looked at the ones she would call the great saints. You know, whereas St. Ignatius of Loyola, as soon as he started to read the lives of St. Francis of Assisi or St. Dominic of Guzman, he would say, why can't I do what they did? Why can't I be like Francis? Why can't the same God who gave them grace will give me grace? Why can't I do it? And that set him off on that bold path to imitate their total self-giving to the Lord. Whereas that's what St. Ignatius of Loyola did. St. Therese, when she looked at the heroic deeds of the great saints before her, said, there's no way I can ever compete with that. So she had the image of a garden, in which she said, there are a lot of roses in that garden, beautiful, and they give such great pleasure to the divine gardener. I can never be one of those strong roses. I have to be a petite fleur. I have to be a little flower. Because if the gardener has planted that little flower next to the roses, and that little flower grows up and it turns toward the sun, The divine gardener is just as happy with the way that little flower has fulfilled its vocation as it has the rose. She just always wanted to be that little flower in the divine master's garden. Take that little way, the little way of childlike simplicity, la petite voie, the little way. What is that little way? It's very important for us to grasp if we're going to be love in the heart of the church. There's a few components to it. She never systematized what it is. And sometimes when you read and try to do the synthesis on your own, it's a little hard. But the first step in this little way of childlike simplicity that Jesus talks about in the gospel, unless we become like a little child, we will not enter the kingdom of heaven. The first step is a total confidence that God will give us everything we need. It's not confidence in ourselves, it's confidence in God. She linked two passages, the one that Jesus proclaimed to us today, we won't enter the kingdom unless we become like little children, with the first of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In order to be a child, we need to be poor in spirit. We need to recognize we have nothing, and we need to receive everything from the Father. That the pursuit of holiness is not, as I like to say, a staircase with 10,000 steps. She was born at a time where the elevator had just been invented, and she always used these images to teach the faith to her novices in the Carmel. And she said, sanctity is in fact like God's coming down in an elevator, opening up the door and saying, Vene, come in, just come on in, and riding up with us toward sanctity, allowing him to pick us up. That it's not the pursuit of the climb of a Mount Everest spiritually, she told another novice, but it's rather to go down into a deep valley, to become truly humble and totally dependent on the Lord. That's the first step in spiritual childhood, that we allow God to do his work in us. The second, when we're a true spiritual child, is we recognize we're going to fall. We're going to fall, and we're going to fall some more, and we're going to get our little boo-boos. Now, what happens? If you're President Obama walking into a room where you're about to give a big speech, and you trip over a chair and you fall flat on your face, it's a huge fall. It's going to be in every political cartoon across the country. People are going to be rerunning it over and over again, because when you're big and you have that collapse, what an embarrassment. But not when you're a little child. Think about it. If little Andrew were walking around here, even though he's a big boy right now, but if Andrew were walking around here and he fell down, we wouldn't treat it the same way as if one of us tripped. It would be far less embarrassing, because what? Kids fall down all the time. And when you fall down when you're a little kid, it's not so far to the ground, is it? Doesn't hurt so bad when you're a little munchkin and you fall down, then if you think that you're 9 feet tall and you have that type of collapse. The second thing St. Therese teaches us is we will fall down all the time, but we need to trust in the Father's merciful love. She shows us how to trust in the merciful love of the Lord, not to be afraid of him as the Jansenists of her age were trying to teach people. We need to be so intimidated by God that we can never even go into his presence. No, she tried to get them to relate as a father. She said her notion of the sacrament of confession was after she had broken a big vase, she would go into her father's arms, jump up into him, start giving kisses all over his face. And then when he asks, what would you like, ma chérie? What would you like, dear? She'd just then inform him that she broke his favorite vase, that there was that love, that confidence. She said the great way we learn the confidence of that child is that when God came into our world, he became a tiny little baby so that we wouldn't be frightened at his appearance. He didn't come the first time on the clouds of heaven with all the divine majesty. He came as a little baby. She said, which one of us can be intimidated by someone who became so small not to frighten us? It's true, that's the second step of spiritual childhood. And the third step of spiritual childhood is that it is a way of love that begins with being loved and then sharing and living in that love. Pope John Paul II, when he was in Lisieux in 1982, said that the greatest aspect of the spiritual childhood, the little way that St. Therese teaches us, is it's a way of divine filiation. It's a way in which we recognize that we are God the Father's beloved sons and daughters. Beloved, St. John will tell us in the third chapter of his first letter, see how much God has loved us, that we are called children of God. Just to be called children of God is the most unbelievable reality he could fathom in that letter. But then he goes on, but so indeed we are. We're not just called children of God. We are children of God. See how much love the Father has given us in making us his children through the adoption that comes in baptism. And once we recognize that love, then we live in it. We start sharing that love, not necessarily in just the huge heroic deeds of the martyrs, but in the little deeds, as St. Therese shows us, to do little things with great love. It's Mother Teresa stealing it from St. Therese, made famous with her missionaries of charity throughout the world. Little things with great love. St. Therese did in that Carmel, the way that she would prepare for the Mass, the way that she would go and sit next to the most curmudgeonly old, bitter sisters to try to flood them with love in such a way that even her blood sisters in the Carmel got jealous, that it was like she wasn't even spending time with them because she was spending time with all these bitter old sisters. But that was her path of the sharing of the love of the Lord. That needs to be our path. In the little things of the day, there is holiness, provided that we recognize at that time that we are so loved by God. Live in that love and begin to share it. That's the way we become love in the heart of the Church. As I mentioned at the beginning, this little way of spiritual childhood is a way of holiness. And we have to take it, because unless we become like a little child, we won't become a saint. We won't enter heaven. We need that type of humility. St. Therese, when she was writing to one of her adopted priest brothers in missionary territories soon before she died, she said, I am praying to the Lord that he will make you walk this little way. He will make you walk it. She didn't have a false humility to recognize God hadn't given her anything. She recognized that this was the path to holiness. She was praying that her sophisticated adopted brother priest would become small enough to take this way toward holiness. And she said in her autobiography about the type of boldness that we need to have and live in this way, she said, you can never become half a saint. You can't become a saint by halves. I'll become a little bit of a saint now and a big saint later. Nope, you have to be all in. You can't become a saint by halves. From the time she was a little kid all the way till she died as a spiritual child at the age of 24, she was seeking, as she said, at Christmas once, when she was looking at all her mother's things, and they said, Therese, you're the baby, you choose what you'd like first. She said, je choisis tout. I choose it all. She wanted to have all of the treasure of her mom's things. She wanted to have all of the treasure of her celestial father's things. And that's why she's a great saint and a great teacher for us all today. So we too can't be saint by halves. St. John Vianney, who's next to her over here on the side, said that we learn this way through Jesus in the Eucharist. St. Therese said, how can we be intimidated by a God who became so small that he became a little baby in Bethlehem? All the more, how can we be intimidated by a God who becomes so much smaller and hides himself under the appearance of our food and drink in order to nourish us from the inside, not just to invite us into an elevator, to become like a rocket inside of us, trying to lift us up to heaven. This is the little way of humility in which he turns to us with Saint Therese today and says,